So welcome to this year. It's a new beginning for this year in a new location on an auspicious day because it's Rosh Chodesh, which is a new beginning, and it's also the new year for trees, according to Beit Shammai's opinion. And it's also the parsha when we read about HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, which is all about new beginnings, and this year is going to be about new beginnings. So first of all, thank you very much, Sam, for hosting this year and
thank
hospitality.
Thank you so much for coming.
Let's go. The Shir is dedicated for the outside of Irina Bat Ilya Brezna, Tinishmatal Sarabat Sarachayim. So, this week's Parsha of Bo, and everything I'm saying is based on the writings of Rav Tzadok HaKohen. Rav Tzadok, I know you did this last week, I'll say it again, Rav Tzadok HaKohen lived from 1823 to 1900, that would be the 19th century. He was a litvak, a non-chassid, who in his teens, who was a complete brilliant genius, in his teens he accidentally ended up with the Ishvitzer, for a Shabbos Ishvitzer Rebbe, who wrote a book called Meshiloach, and Rav Tzadok was so impressed that he became a chassid, and sat in a chassidus. So his writings are a combination of Litvish Torah and Hasidic Kabbalistic concepts. And I've taken just a very small part of that, the little bit that I can understand, and tried to piece something together which hopefully turns into a shiur. Parshat Bo has the last three of the plagues. That's why it's called Bo, which is the gematria of three. And it also has, after the ninth plague, God says to Moshe in source number one, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Od neg achad ve'al paro, ve'al mitzrayim, achachen yishalach etchem mizeh. I've got one more plague to throw on Egypt, and after that he will send you out. Kishalcho kala, gareshi gareshi etchem mizeh. He's going to completely throw you out and get rid of you from here. So we've had nine plagues, and now, before the tenth plague, which is the slaying of the firstborn, the Torah stops the narrative of the plagues, and we have the first mitzvah. The first mitzvah which was commanded to Klal Yisrael. We had Adam and Eve got six of the seven Noahide laws. Noah got the seventh of the Noahide laws. Avram got a mitzvah of Brit Milah, and Yaakov got the mitzvah of Gid Hanasheh. But none of those mitzvot were mitzvot that were binding on future generations or on Klal Yisrael until this parsha, and here is the very first mitzvah that we have. And it is as follows. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon be'etz Mitzrayim lemor. God spoke to Moshe and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodeshim. This month is the chief of the month, the first of the month. Rishon hu lachem lechodshei hashana. It is the first of the month for you. So this is a new... Before God kills all the firstborn, the narrative stops, and God says to Moshe and to Aaron, we're going to start a calendar now. We're going to have Rosh Chodesh, and then having got the Rosh Chodesh, then God says on the 10th of the month, you'll take a sheep and use that as your Korban Pesach, and on the 15th of the month, you'll eat your matzah, and whatever's going to happen. But first up, we have a calendar. Now, Rav Tzadok quotes a Psikta Rabbati, which is a piece of I think Tanaitic literature. I didn't check. It's only Chazal, which is as follows: Tochelet memushcha machalat lev. Drawn out hope leads to sickness of the heart. It's the verse from Mishlei. What does it mean? Amru b'chia bar Abba, Elu Yisrael ad shalom nigalu. Right. This refers to the Jews before they were redeemed. They were hoping for redemption, and that made their heart grow sick. Atamotzeh came in Shabbat Moshe to Yisrael, when Moshe came to the Jews. The Amar Lehen, he said to them, he said, Amar Lehen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God told me, Lech Emor Yisrael, go and say to Israel, Pakod Pakarati Etchem, I have redeemed you. That phrase, Pakod Pakarati, was the code word for redemption. The code word that Yaakov told to Yosef and that Yosef told to his children on his deathbed, and which the Jewish people knew when somebody comes and uses these words, that's the sign that God is sending the redemption. So Moshe came and he said the magic words, Pakat Pakalati Etchem. Amru lo, the people said, Moshe Rabbeinu, lo, no, not good enough. Adayin, lo adayin zman pakida. It's still not the right time to be let out. You're jumping the gun. You've come too early. Ma kochi ki yachel, quoting a pasuk in Iyov, in koch avanim kochi b'sarin achoshet. What strength have I that I should wait? Is my strength the rock, the strength of rocks? Is my flesh made of copper? The kevin she'amar lo b'chodesh hazeh nigalim. But when Moshe said, wait a second, forget pakad pakadati, in this month you're going to be redeemed. Amru, then the people said, ah, ha siman tov, that's a good sign. We like that sign. Veitz chayim tavat ba, and that's the end of the verse in Mishlei, the desire fulfilled is a tree of life. That's a rather cryptic statement from Chazal. So Moshe comes and he says the magic code words, and people are like, no, that's not good enough. We're not ready yet. Then Moshe says, no, this month. And they're like, oh, okay, that's a good idea. And they didn't say, thank you very much, or yes, that's what we've been waiting for these couple hundred years. They said, this is a good sign, siman tov. What does it mean, siman tov? It's a strange phrase to use for the thing that they've been waiting for all these years. So Sadek quotes another Midrash Rabba this time, which says, so the Shir Hashem says, right, the Shir Hashem is this love song between the Dodi, beloved. Kol Dodi, Hine Zeba. The voice of my beloved, he's coming. What does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbanon. Three opinions. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Dodi Hine Zeba, Ze Moshe. The voice of my beloved is coming, that's Moshe. B'shah Sheba V'amal Yisrael B'chodesh Ze Atim Nigalim. When Moshe came and said, in this month you're going to be redeemed, which is what he said in the previous Midrash. Amru lo, they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hech Anu Nigalim. What are you talking about? How can we be redeemed? V'halo Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Avraham V'avdu V'ini Otam Arbama Shana. God promised Abraham it was going to be 400 years of slavery. If you look on your calendar, Moshe, you're too early. It's only been 210 years on the clock. And remember, the Bnei Ephraim tried to leave Egypt early. They miscalculated and they did try and leave. There's a whole story about them going out and being destroyed on the way. And the people didn't leaving too early, hastening the redemption, trying to push things too much is not a good thing. Everyone's nervous. This is, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. 400 years, you're coming too early. Amalehem ha'il v'hu chafetz b'gulatchem. Says Moshe, because God wants you to be redeemed, eina mabit b'cheshvanotechem. God's not looking at your calculations. Your calendars are all fine for counting your years, but God's not interested in that. Ela midaleg al heharin. God's going to jump over the mountains, leap over the mountain, which is from Shiashim. Ein harin v'gva'ot hamarim kan, elek hitzim v'iborim. And when it says mountains and valleys, it means all your calculations of the end of the redemption and your calendars. Midaleg al cheshbonot v'alakitim v'iborin v'chodesh hazeh atim negalim. God's not interested in all of your calculations. You've worked out Mashiach coming in this year. You've worked out that this is a sign of that and there's so many that and who knows what, and you're reading all the parsha sheets every week and you see what's going to happen. God doesn't care about any of that. God says you're coming out this month. Sh'ne'emar chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodeshim. This is the month. This is the new beginning. So that was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that the Jews said the time, wrong time. Rabbi Nechemi amar kozli hine zeba, ze Moshe. He says this verse refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. B'shah shamal Yisrael, when Moshe said to the Jews, v'chodesh hazeh atem nigalim, when he said, in this month you're going to be redeemed, amru lo, they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, hechanu nigalim. How can we be redeemed? And what merit? Can we be redeemed? We haven't done any good deeds. We're busy being slaves to Pharaoh, but we have no merit in which to be redeemed. Amar lehem. He said to them, since God wants you to be redeemed, God's not looking at all your bad deeds. So who is he looking at? And what is your merit? The tzaddikim shebachem. He's looking at the righteous amongst you, v'maaseihem, and their actions. Because on Amram Ubeit, you know, like Amram and his basin. If God wants to bring the redemption, all the mitzvah campaigns, all of the hero things, doesn't make a difference. When God's ready, it's time, regardless of whether we deserve it or not. Amrullah, another opinion. Moshe Rabbeinu, they said to Moshe, Hech anu nigalim? How can we be redeemed? Not only is it the wrong date and wrong year, and not only have we not done anything good, but it's worse than that. Kol Mitzrayim mitunefet mi'avodat kachavim shelanu. The whole of Egypt is filled with the filth of our idolatry. Not only have we not been doing good things, we've been worshipping idols the whole time. Amar lehem, Moshe said to the Jews, Ho'il v'hu chafetz b'gulatchem, since God wants to redeem you, Eino mabit v'avodat kachavim shelachem. He's not looking at your idolatry either. Ela midaleg ale harim. He's leaping over, he's ignoring one of the mountains. Ein harim ala avodat kachavim, in the mountains he refers to the idol. I don't even know what the abbreviation stands for, sorry. Into Eton. Al Roshay Harim is the Chul, Balagwat Yikatir, that they will worship their idols on the top of the mountains and on the valleys they will offer their offerings. So the Jews have all the logical reasons why this is not the right time to, I'm calling them the Jews, they're not Jews yet of course, but they're Bnei Israel. They have all the reasons of why they can't be redeemed from Egypt at the wrong time. They haven't got any mitzvahs, and they've done all sorts of averas. Moshe's been interested in that. God said, now is the time to come out. That's the simon tov that the people saw in the first sign. That's the good sign is, whatever logical argument the people had about why this wasn't the right time to come, everything, they had a whole plan of what it was going to look like, they read the books, they knew the stories, they had everything worked out, and God said, forget all of that. We're doing it my way. Now, what was this merit? How did God bring them out, really, if it goes against all the laws? What is the mechanism whereby God allows them to change all of the rules? This is a very simple mechanism, one word answer, and the answer is Torah. The ninth of the ten plagues was darkness, choshech, right. So the Egyptians were sitting in the dark, they couldn't see, they couldn't move, and we know all the midrashim about what the Jews were doing at that time. And the verse says, lo ro'i ish et achiv, in source number 5. One person couldn't see another, v'lo kamo ish mitachta, they couldn't even get up from their places, shlosha yamim, for the first 3 of the 7 days of darkness. V'lechol b'nei Yisrael haya or b'moshvotam, but all of b'nei Yisrael had light in their dwelling places. Now, based on the Zohar, which I didn't quote here because I assume you're familiar with it already, but also based on many other sources, we know that the word Or means Torah. That this is the time when the Jews were ready, were able to receive the Torah. The beginning of Bereshit has the word Or 5 times, which refers to the 5 books of Chumash. Furthermore, the 10 plagues in Egypt correspond to the 10 commandments, but in reverse order. The 10 plagues start from the least revelation of God to the greatest revelation of God. The 10 commandments start with, I am the Lord your God, and kind of fizzle out towards the end a little bit. And they also correspond to the 10 sefirot in the Kabbalistic tree of life, reaching up to the highest, which is the Keter Elyon. So the ninth plague corresponds to the sphere of Chochmah, which is connected to Torah. So after the ninth plague, after the Jews have witnessed the 9 plagues and they've built themselves up, everything that happened, all the plagues to the Egyptians were building up the Jews one step at a time until they reached the level where they were able to receive the Torah. And the Torah begins with this mitzvah, of Achor Shazer Lachem. As Rashi says in the very first, Rashi's very first commentary, very first comment on the Chumash, is that we really didn't need the past 14 weeks, Torah reading. They were all just to teach a lesson to the... Not true. Rashi seems to imply that they were just to teach a lesson to the nations of the world that we have the right to the land of Israel. Now, we don't Ramban argues on that. We know all the different commentaries, but Rashi says the Torah begins, source number 6, Amar of Yitzchak, Lo haya tzrich latchil et haTorah. The Torah should have begun Ela mi'achodesh hazeh lachem, from the mitzvah of this month is the month for you, is the first month. Shehi mitzvah rishana shenitzvahu by Yisrael. This is the first mitzvah that Israel were commanded in. Everything else that we've read until now, from creation through Noach and the Avot, and in throwing Yosef and going to slavery, and everything we've read is preparation for receiving the Torah, which ultimately happens in Sinai, but begins here with this mitzvah of Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. And that can only happen after the ninth plague, when the Jews have left behind the tomb of which they were in and climbed up through the nine towards the tenth level of God's revelation, which is going to be the ultimate revelation at the slaying of the firstborn, and then, of course, at the splitting of the sea. So in the merit of Torah, not only in the merit of Torah, because of the mitzvah of Torah, all of the rules, all of the logic, all of the things that make sense, those rules don't apply anymore. Because Torah is beyond all of that. Because when God says something's going to happen, all of those rules change. Now there's a Yerushalmi you may not be familiar with, which is somewhat cryptic. And Ratzadok explains, is talking all about the value or the benefit in God giving us the Torah. And by Torah he means beginning from the very first mitzvah of Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. Amar Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Simon says, K'tiv, it says in Tehillim, Rabot asita, ata Hashem Elokai, nitlotecha u'machshavotecha aleinu. You've done many great things, you've done many things, God, but you are my God, and you've done wonders, and your wonders and your thoughts are for me. That means l'sha'avar, in the past, before Egypt, rabot asita, you did amazing things, you created a world, you populated the world, you all of these stories we've had in Bereishit, great, wonderful stuff. Mikan ve'elech, but from now on, from leaving Egypt, now nitlatecha machshvatecha aleinu. God, your thoughts and your wonders are directed at us, at the Jewish people. Amar Reb Levi, we're going to have a whole bunch of analogies now, or metaphors, whatever. Reb Levi says, lemelech she'alo ir golin. This, or maybe or golin, this is comparable to a king who has, I think that really means hourglass. But anyway, he had a timepiece. Kevin Sha'amad Bino, when his son became the king, or arose as a nation, when he reached a certain age, Masralo, king, gave his clock to his son. Amr Rabbi Yossi Bachalina, Lemelech Shialo Shumra. It's like a king who had a guard booth, a hut. Kevin Sha'amad Bino Masralo, when his son came of age, he gave him the hut. Amar Rabbi Acha Lemelech Shialo Tabat. It's like a king who had a ring. Kevin Sha'amad Bino Masralo, when his son came of age, he gave him the ring. Amar Bchiyabar Ba is how you say Abba in Yerushalmi. Bchiyabar Ba Lenagar Shialo Kli Nagrod. It's like a carpenter who had his toolbox. Kevin Sha'amad Bino Masralo, when his son came of age, he gave him the toolbox. Amr Yitzchak Lemelech Shaula Otzrot, Kevin Sha'amad Bino Masram Lo, it's like a king who had a store, treasure house, when the son came of age, he gave him the jewels. Rabban Amre Lerofe, it's like a doctor, Shaula Natik, he's got the box of medicine. Natik Shaula Refuot, Kevin Sha'amad Bino Masram Lo, when his son came of age, he gave it to him. Now, Rav Tzadok goes through all of these things one by one, and so it shows how these are connected to Torah. What is the time? The first step in the Torah was the clock. First stage is God gave us the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, when we came of age, when we reached whatever stage of development as a people that God needed from us, he gave us the calendar. From now on, it's our calendar. Right? The Beis Din or the Sanhedrin decides when it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, decides when it's going to be the festivals, decides when the Shluchim go out, decides the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah famously says that even if God's ready to judge the world in Rosh Hashanah, until Beis Din says it's Rosh Chodesh, it's Rosh Hashanah, God can't do anything. God gave it to us. We're in charge of the calendar. The next thing that God gave us is the shomra, the guard booth. What's the guard booth? It's like a sukkah. Right? And what's a sukkah? Sukkah, David HaNafel, refers to the Beit HaMikdash. This is the Mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash, and post-destruction of the Beit HaMikdash refers to the Beit Knesset and the Beit Midrash. This is Rasulak, I would add the home as well. All the places where the Torah is felt, where God's presence is felt, where we can, and God gave that to us. It's up to us to build those things. It's up to us when we go and pray, when we go and learn, when we build the home, we're bringing the Shekhinah into the world. God listens to us. God does what we, how we act in the world is what God does with us. That's, God has given us that when he gave us the mitzvah of Achodesh Hazeh Lachem. So he gave us first the calendar, then he gave us a place where we can connect with him. Then he gave us the ring. So we know the signet ring of God is Emet, is the truth, right? And all the different drashas about what that means. But God then gave us access to the truth, the reality of the world, the reality of Torah, the reality of God. You're going to have to share, I'm afraid. I haven't got enough. But a quick review of the story so far, while you're taking off your coat and getting a copy. In this week's parsha, we have the first mitzvah, which is Achodesh Hazeh Lachem. The commandment to set up the calendar, to sanctify the new moon, to make Nisan the first month. It's in this merit that we were redeemed from Egypt. And every time Moshe came to the Jewish people and said, not every time, when Moshe came to the Jewish people and gave them the code word and told them, it's time to be redeemed, God's ready to let you out, let's go. The Jews said, we haven't got any merit. We've got no, it's not the right time to go. We don't deserve to be let out yet. And not only that, but we've been worshipping idols. Moshe says, none of that's important. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, this mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh trumps everything else. It changes the time, it changes the mitzvahs, it changes the sins. Everything's changed. And that's because this mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem represents Torah. Represents our connection to God. And we're just in the middle of going through in source number 7, this Yerushalmi, which says that Torah, God, when God gave us the Torah, he gave us the ability to calculate the month, to set the calendar, to make the year. He gave us the ability to have a place to connect with God, that he will come. Whenever we're gathered in someone's house giving a shiur, then the Shekhinah is there as well. He gave us the ring, which represents truth, that we can connect to them. Now, I think the next two should really be the other way around. I'm not sure. Anyway, so the carpenter has the carpentry tools. What does that represent? I did the easy bit. Here's the hard one. Beit HaMikdash. So we had Beit HaMikdash. Good, but Beit HaMikdash says Rasadik was the guard booth. So what's the count? Mitzvot. What's that got to do with carpentry?
I mean,
don't say Jesus.
The tools.
Right. That's not what Rasadik says, but it's very good. But it's along the right lines. Rasadik says that God gave us the tools to develop the Torah ourselves, to turn the Torah Shebichtav into the Torah Shebaalpeh. He gave us the 13 midot to expound, to derive the rules, to create new Torah for ourselves. He didn't just give us the box, but he gave us the tools that we can build. He didn't give us the house, he allowed us to build the extension, the extra mepeset out the back. And so the toolbox is the tools to develop the Torah, but God gave that to us as well. Then he gave us the treasures. The treasure is Yirat Hashem. The Otsa, Hi Otsra. Yirat Hashem Hi Otsra, that the fear of God, or the awe of God, is the real treasure. That through all of these other things that we have, and through, I suppose, if it's going in order, then through the intricacies of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, we can reach the level of Yirat Hashem. And finally, the doctor and the tool, the medical bag, is because the Torah is the refuah for the Yetzer Hara. That God gave that to us. He gave us the Yetzer Hara, and then he gave us the medicine to be able to cure ourselves of the Yetzer Hara. All of that happened when God said to Moshe and Aaron in Egypt, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. It's a brand new beginning. It's no longer God saying, here's God up here, and then he's sending down all the rules, and that's what you do or don't do, and the occasional thunder and lightning. It's all yours, boys, girls. Off you go. You've got all of the tools that you need to develop a relationship, to develop a calendar, to build the world, to build the Torah, to discover God and connect to God. And when he's given us that, then everything else we had before, everything we thought, becomes irrelevant. That's really the concept of the word chodesh. It's the same as the word chidush. Right? So the word for a month is the word for renewal, which is, of course, because the moon, as opposed to the sun, waxes and wanes every month. And so the concept of renewal means that God took the Jewish people who were sunk in Egypt, who were assimilated in Egypt, who were, I mean, basically the same. You know, even though Yaakov came down with his 12 sons, who are the tribes of Egypt, tribes of Israel, and all these wonderful things, and they assimilated and intermarried, and I know the Midrashim say they didn't, but they did. Right? All of the things that they were worshipping idols, the same as the Egyptians were. So when they left, they were still complaining about how good things were in Egypt. They everything, all of the planning that Yosef had done, all the planning that Yaakov had done, was virtually for nothing. And God said to them, all of that, forget everything. Right? And there's no way out of here unless you start all over again. And one of Rav Tzadok's, everything I've said till now is based on Pri Tzadik, which is Rav Tzadok's book on Chumash. There's a source here, number 8, from Machshavot Harut, which I once started translating, and I turned into a little book that is on Lulu you can buy, but one day I'll finish the whole thing, please God. He says, Alken Nikra Chodesh, the reason, he's really talking here about Shavuot, because it says on Shavuot we bring a new offering. He says, he's talking about the concept of newness. He says, Alken Nikra Chodesh, the reason the word for month is Chodesh, Diesh Ayedeze, Bechol Pam Chidush, that we have every month, every time there's a new Chodesh, there's a Chidush, there's renewal. Veit Chadshut, the renewal, She'ein Mityashem Ayede Shiesh Helem Ben Time. It doesn't grow old, or the reason it doesn't become old is because it disappears in between, and then it renews itself, and therefore it's a new, comes new. V'achidush achar helem, the renewal after the disappearing, hu devar chadash, it's brand new, it's not a repetition of what happened last month, it's not something that happened before, it's a brand new beginning. V'lo ma'ashar mikodem, it's not what happened previously. V'kach ein adam omed al divrei Torah, elim ken nichshal behem, I should say. A person cannot fully understand Divrei Torah until he trips over them, until he stumbles in them, and not until he forgets them. You have to know something so well that you forget it, and then you rediscover it and relearn it, and then you know it better than you did the first time. It has to be. Because if it's there all the time, and you know it all the time, then it just stays constant. But forgetting and remembering can reach a greater level of understanding. Ha'inu ha'it chadshut. Hit chadshut divrei Torah, tzrich liot ayidei helem or michshol hakodem. the renewal, the newness of Torah comes through from the hiddenness that is appearing and the stumbling preceding it, and that then leads to renewal, leads to greater heights, to new discoveries. Therefore, the offering, the sacrificing of the new offering, it's on Shavuot. Shesfirat, am I still putting the, yeah. Shesfirat ha-Shavuot ha-Kodmot hu ha-Barem l'mechach ha-Shazo, because counting the from Pesach till Shavuot, which shows our excitement, anticipation, and waiting for this newness, Shezochin la-Yisrael ha-Monim l'Levana, I'll skip to that again. The Yisrael are able to connect to the newness of the sacrifice because we are also going to be renewed like the moon is renewed every month. To know that every time we forget something, every time there's a dip, every time it disappears, every time we lose it, every time we can't remember where we are, what's going on, or it's dark and we're lost, to know that there's going to be renewal afterwards. Every time we get a little bit depressed, or it's the middle of winter, or I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, or any of those things, to know that that's getting us to the next stage, is going to be a greater appreciation of what we have, and not stating it who we are and where we are. And if we wouldn't have those moments of doubt and confusion and darkness, then we wouldn't be able to attain the clarity and the connection that comes after that. Ein kol chadash tachat ha-shemesh. Shlomo HaMelech says, there's nothing new under the sun. The kol devar k'shemit yashen, ein chashuv od shekvar hogal bo. Everything which becomes old is no longer important, no longer exciting, because you've got used to it. So that's why the whole of Kohelet is just a book of... Shlomo is bored with everything, he's done it all. There's nothing new, everything's been done before, there's no point in anything. Aval, divrei Torah. Divrei Torah, which come from a place higher than the sun, beyond the sun, outside of the universe. Tzrichin liot kol yom kichadashim. They every day have to be like new. The chavivim kosha kishari shana. They are as dear every moment, like the first time you learned them, like the very first time they were given at Har Sinai. Tzirak tacha b'shemesh ein chadash. Only under the sun is there nothing new. Aval amalam in ha-shemesh, shua Torah, above, beyond the sun, which is the Torah, yesh. There is something new. The b'chol rega yuchal la'asig hitchadshut ma'ashlo noda v'nitgale adayin ba'olam klal. A person can attain or achieve or understand something new that's never been revealed in the world before, some brand new idea that never existed before. That's possible for some products in the world of Torah because that comes from beyond the sun. Everything else is just a repetition of the same idea, the different packaging. But the complete break of newness is something which is what God gave us in this week's parsha in Egypt, and which is what allowed us to be redeemed as a nation. But I think what allows us to be redeemed as individuals at those moments in our lives when we feel that we're stuck and there's no way out and we don't deserve anything and we haven't got any merits and we're worshipping idols and it's the wrong time and nothing's happening, and yet we can find that energy, that power of newness, by connecting to the mitzvah of Chiddush, of Chodesh Azeh Lachem. Everything I've said until now has been based on Rav Tzadok, or my understanding of it. I wanted to share with you an idea from Rav Gedal Yeshor, Zatzal, who was Rosh Hashiva of Torah Medar in the 70s, I think, 80s. Anyway, I don't know. He was... He was Rosh Hashiva in Torah Vadas, which is not a Hasidic yeshiva, but he was very influenced by Hasidic thinking, and he wrote I'm not sure how many volumes. He wrote on Chumash and Moazim, which is either three or four volumes, called Or Gadol Yahu, where he basically takes Hasidic ideas and packages them for yeshiva litvish audiences, which means that people like me have got a chance of understanding some of it. And this is, I think this is probably the first book of Hasidus I really understood anything of at all. because it's not really Chassidic. So he explains this concept of Chiddush, which I think is the same or very similar to what Rav Tzadok is saying, but he explains how it works and what it means. And he started before he read it inside. It's all very well saying that God gave us the power of Chiddush and the moon and all this kind of stuff, but actually, if you just look at it, we know, and the ancient Greeks knew, that the moon doesn't really disappear and come back again. It's the shadow of the earth, and the whole thing is just an illusion from our perspective. But actually nothing really happens. If we'd be looking at it from the International Space Station or from wherever else, then the whole thing is just, we're just talking inside our own head. Right? So what does that mean when we say that God gave us something which we know is actually not even true? That's the issue he's dealing with, right? Which is something, I don't know whether it's sort of dealt with that or not, but so I put this in here to show how this idea makes sense in a modern world where we can actually, well, once upon a time the American government could send people to the moon. Now they can't, but they may or may not be sending people to Mars, depending on who wins the election. Well, depending on who keeps the election promises. Anyway, I've taken a three-page thing and just taken the first and last paragraph and taken out all the insights. So I recommend you can download this from hebrewbooks.org, which has 50,000 books on the internet for free. Hebrewbooks.org. Hebrewbooks.org, O-R-G, they're adding more every month, but over 50,000 books, several of which are called Or Gedaliyahu by Rabbi Gedaliah Shor, and you can find this here and see the whole thing. He says, Chiddush HaLevana Moreh Al Koach Hitchadshut B'Bnei Yisrael. The renewal of the moon teaches us about the power of renewal amongst the Israel. Kama shomrim benusach habracha beit kiddush halavana, like we say in kiddush halavana, right, on Monday Shabbos after Rosh Chodesh, we go outside and sing this song and dance in a circle, or stay down, stomp around, depending on how cold it is. We say, shehem atidim lehitchadesh kamota, that they, the Jewish people, are in the future will be renewed like the moon. When the Jewish people were given this mitzvah and parshas bo of this is the new month, they were given the power, the ability of renewal, which is represented by the renewal of the moon. Now, this question that's bothering you about sending people to the moon and about it all being an illusion is not a new problem, right? The Talmidim of Rabbeinu Yonah, 13th century, around London, who wrote a commentary on Brachot. If you look in the back of the Gemara Brachot, you'll find the commentary of Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rif. So they asked the following question, right? Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, Sechah Brachot, Hikshuk. I said, Shalom, Inyan Shal Chiddush Levana, Hu Cheshbon Pashut. There's no renewal, it's a calculation. Look on the calendar, you know exactly when the moon's going to come and the moon's not going to come. No, nothing happens, it's just math. Look at Egypt, the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah. It's not even their invention, it's the Gemara, it's explicitly Pamim Ba Baruchah, Pamim Ba Viktara. Sometimes the moon cycle takes longer, sometimes it takes shorter, but we know the average where it is, and we can, we, the rabbis of the Gemara, the Greeks, I keep saying the Greeks because Rambam, in his Laws of Kiddush HaChodesh, says that the rabbis had a way of calculating where and when the moon was going to appear. But Rambam says their way was really complicated, and the Greeks had a much simpler way. So I'm going to tell you the Greek way of doing it, which will make your life easier. And if you want, you can figure out the other way as well. So everybody knew how to calculate this. So there's nothing really happening. It's just plugging in the right numbers into the computer, and at the other end you get the answers. So Cheshbon Beseder, Kateva is just calculation. Lama meramez v'chal inyan hitchadshut. So how can we say that it's telling us anything about renewal? So the answer of Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah is ki la'ein ha'adam nireh ki hitchadshut. It looks to us from our perspective as if it's renewal. V'lachem mevarachim aleh. And therefore we make a blessing on it. Now if I was learning this Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, I would say the whole thing's a farce. I mean, since the Torah is just from our perspective, and we can say anything we want because we're just talking to what it looks like from us, and it's, I mean, not connected to anything, and that seems to be what they're saying. But it looks that way, so that's good enough. And so luckily, we've got Olga Dalyavim, who says it doesn't mean that at all. Ikwet Samhara, it goes a few pages. Basically, the idea is that anything that we perceive in this world, or that we do in this world, is connected to the higher spiritual world. So that anything that happens here is the lowest, I can't think of the right word, it's a
manifestation.
Thank you, that's the word I wanted, a manifestation of something happening in multiple spiritual worlds, higher and higher, until we get to the ultimate source of everything. And it's filtered down through the world so that it happens here in a certain way. Therefore, when we perceive something is happening in this world, it's true that it's our perception, but we're perceiving that not because of the physical, we're not interested in the physicality of it, but it's a manifestation of spiritual reality. And that's what we're perceiving, that's the thing that we're trying to see. And that's the real renewal happening there in the spiritual realm. So having just summarized the whole long thing in one short sentence with all the wrong words, he summarizes himself by saying, I recommend that you look at it. If your Hebrew is good enough, it's not so difficult. He says, "Lachain af shechidush halevanahu inyan tivi." Therefore, even though the renewal of the moon is something natural, "Marehu al kach hitchadshut," it nevertheless teaches us about the power of renewal. "Ki im la'ein ha'adam nireh she'az nitchadesh," if it appears to us from our perspective that the moon has been renewed, "nitchadesh levanah." There is a manifestation and clothing of the concept of renewal. There, le siman, this then for us is a sign. Sha'az v'chinat ki gavah me'al gavah shomer, that in the higher and higher world, yesh ruach shel hitchadshut, there is a spirit of renewal. V'shev rosh chodesh, and on Rosh Chodesh, which is tonight, Bizman Shnit Chadesh Levana, at the time when the new moon appears, Yechol Ha'adam L'Chadesh Et Atzmo, a person is able to renew themselves. V'lekabel Siwa Mikach HaHitchadshut HaYared B'Rosh Chodesh, and to get help through this spiritual energy of renewal that's coming into the world on Rosh Chodesh, which appears to us in the moon, we can tap into that spiritual energy and renew ourselves. The koach hitchadshut hazeh nimsal Yisrael ba'et sheyatzu mitzrayim, and this power, this ability to renew ourselves was given, God gave us that when we left Egypt in Parashat Bo. Shnitaleh ma'parashah shel chodesh hazeh lachem, koach hachidush masur b'yad b'nei Yisrael. So the power of renewal is given to us, so even though what we're seeing in the world is a physical phenomenon, but it's teaching us about a spiritual phenomenon, if we choose to tap into that, if we choose to maximize that, make the most of it, and do whether we can, then we can pull ourselves up out of the funk that we sometimes find ourselves in and start again. And even though we don't deserve it, all the things, right, on a personal level, whatever that would mean, our own personal Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we can start again. And of course, we can always do this because God gave us the calendar, but we can a particularly good time to do it is Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh is a particularly good time to do it, but Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which is the month of Tu B'Shvat, and which in fact, according to Beit Shammai, today is the new year for trees, is a particularly auspicious time for a new beginning, says Ratzok. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which you may be familiar with because they print it in the Rosh Hashanah Machzor, and when you get those boring bits during Musaf, you can flip back and read it. And it's the very first Mishnah, so even if you're only a little bit bored, you may have read the first Mishnah. It says, Arba Rosh Hashanim Pem. There are four New Years in the Jewish calendar. And of course, there's a lot more or a lot less depending on how you count and this or whatever. But Echad B'Nisan, and I didn't bother translating all of this because I figured you'd know it, but the first of Nisan, Rosh Hashanah L'Melachim V'L'Ragalim, for kings and for festivals. Be'Echad Be'Elul Rosh Hashanah L'Maisa Behem, the first of El is the New Year for tithing your animals. You can't tithe animals born in this year from animals born in last year. So we have to have a cut-off point for when the year starts, essentially, so we can know which animals can be tithed against which other animals. That's according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, Amrim, Be'echad B'Tishrei, they say it's the first of Tishrei. Be'echad B'Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, L'Shmitim V'Le'ovlot. It's a new year for years, and for Shemitas, and for Yovel. The 7-year cycles and the 50-year cycles, and then Tziyah for planting trees, for the Yerakot and for vegetables. Be'echad B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah L'Ilan. The first of Shvat is the new year for trees. Kedivrei Beit Shammai, according to Beit Shammai's opinion, Beit Hillel Amrim, B'Hamisha Asar Bo. And Beit Hillel say on the 15th of the month. Now, just before we turn the page and look at all the answers, if you look at the list of things here in the Hebrew, and if your Hebrew is good enough, you'll notice that everything is plural, with two exceptions.
Ilan
is in the singular. And Netiyah. Netiyah is in singular.
What about Maaser
Behema?
Behema part is singular, but it's implying plural.
Great. You say Behema.
Maaser Behema, Maaser Behemot. Yeah, I don't know. We'll do it. No, that's good. We'll just ignore that. No, I didn't hear that. So why are... Now, what's the difference between Ilan on Tu B'Shvat and Netiyah on Rosh Hashanah?
Netiyah is just a sapling, a baby. And Ilan implies that it's full grown, that it's got the blossom.
Good. Agreed. Now, what's the halakhic difference? You got a pathway there.
Orla.
And Netiyah is to do with Orla. And you're planting it. If you plant it before Rosh Hashanah, then after Rosh Hashanah, after you pass Rosh Hashanah, you're into your second year already of the tree, and you only have to wait another year after that. So you've had just 3 years of Orla. And why do we need two B'Shvat? The fruit, like you said. Trimah and Maaser goes according to when the fruit ripens, the Chanacha, when the fruit buds on the tree. So also, just like with animals, you can't carry forward from 1 year to the next. So to the Trimah and Maaser, you've got to know which year it is. If it's the first and second year of the Shemitah cycle, or the fourth and fifth year, then you've got Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. And if it's in the third and sixth years, it's Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. And in the seventh year, it's Shemitah. You need to know what year it is so you know which tithes to take, or whether it's Shemitah or whatever. So, as a Netiyah is when you're planting a tree, and that's Orla, which is the first 3 years of the tree's life. And the Tu B'Shvat is to work out the Trumah and Maaser. Unlike vegetables, which is said by when you pick them, but when you harvest them, and it goes from Rosh Hashanah, fruit goes from when it ripens, when it buds on the tree. And so the question is, why are the trees in the singular when everything else is in the plural? So if you've done your gematria really quickly, or turn the page. Says Rav Tzadok, Ra'iti shediktaku lama tani le'ilan lashon yachid. I saw some people, I mistranslated this, I saw some people were bothered why it says tree in the singular. The Katzor, the answer to Tevat Ilan, Gematria Tzadi Aleph. The Gematria, the numerical value of the word Ilan, Aleph is 1, Yud is 10, Lamed is 30, and Nun is 50, adds up to 91. Which is the gematria of Shnei Hashemot, the two names of God. Two names of God are Yudkei Vavkei, which is 26, and Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is, can't read that fast enough, 65. Aleph is 1, Dalet is 4, Nun is 50, and Yud is 10. 65 and 26 makes 91. So those two names of God together, which if you, I don't know if any of you are Sfardi or Dabi from the Sfardi Siddha, but if you, in and some Hasidic Siddurim as well, in the Sfardi Siddurim, whenever it writes God's name, it puts Yud, K, Vav, K, and in between each one it has Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud as well. And there's a, And there's a question as to what intention you're supposed to have when you're davening, whether you're supposed to think of Yud Kei Vav Kei means Hayahoveh V'Hiyeh, that God is eternal, and Adonai means he's the master, and which intention you're supposed to have. So we're in the whole discussion of that. Somebody told me last week, and I don't know if this is true, but it's an interesting idea. In some books, the abbreviation nowadays when people write don't want to write God's name, they write Hey with a little chuk chuk next to it, and the Hey stands for Hashem. Actually, they got frumer than that, and they just write Dalet, which doesn't stand for anything at all. But, well, I guess it's a Dishamai. It's the other Dishamai, but it's ridiculous. Anyway, so the Hey is a representation of God's name, which is Hashem, which is God's name. But if you look in printed books, what does it say? We don't want to write God's name. Okay, but if you want to write Hashem, the tetragrammaton without writing those letters, what does it say in the Siddurim? Yud-Yud.
Right. Okay.
Have you seen that?
Right.
So there's no name of God, Yud-Yud, anywhere in the Torah. Right. It doesn't say anywhere that's God's name. So how did Yud-Yud come to stand for God's name?
It's 20.
Yeah, it doesn't help either. And the Vav. Or cutting half, take it half the Vav. So somebody suggested to me that if you write Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Daz Nun Yud into first to each other, you start the Yud and ends the Yud. So if you take out the middle of everything and just the first and last letters, you get a Yud and a Yud, which is what. Now, the first printing presses were, Sensina was the first Jewish printing press, which was an Italian family. They were more likely to have the Sfardi, they're not Sfardi in Italy, but they're more likely, I think, to have a Sfardi type approach to the Siddur than the Ashkenazi approach, so it's quite likely they would have had the names stuck together. So it's a plausible explanation, but if anyone has a better explanation of that, then I'm happy to hear it. Anyway, so what Tzadok says, the Ilan. Ilan is in the singular because it represents God. Right. So Tu Bishvat is the new year for God. Ilan. Now, how do we get from a tree to God? Well, like this. So we know that a person is Eitz HaSadeh. Right, it says in Devarim Ki. Adam Eitz HaSadeh. And so we also know that the Torah is Eitz HaChaim. So Torah is a tree, and a person is a tree. And we know that Yisrael, Kodesh Brichu, V'Araita, Chashuv, that Jewish people and God and the Torah are all one. So if the Torah is a tree and Ha'adam always means Jewish people as opposed to Adam, which means all of humanity. So if the Jews and the Torah are trees, then God is also a tree. So Ilan in the Mishnah has to be singular because there's only one God. Okay. Brilliant answer. However, the problem with that answer is they didn't read the first bit of the Mishnah. Right? Because, as you pointed out, the word Netiyah is also in the singular. Be'emet yesh le'zeg yoter. Right, that the planting is in the singular. After Kulushan Lashon Rabin, if the Mishnah wasn't a typo, it wasn't just that, because it says everything sort of Shanim Shmitim Yoglot and then Netiya in the singular, and then goes back in the Yerakot in the plural. So and the Gematria of Netiya is nothing we can do anything with, so that's not going to help us at all. So what are we supposed to do with Tu Bishvat? So Rav Tzadok says that he continues the idea that God is this tree, and that on Tu Bishvat, as well as celebrating the trees and the fruit, which nowadays is accustomed to eat, as they did in Europe, dried fruit imported from Israel, because we can't use any fruit now because we've got bugs in it because of Shemitah. So we imported from Europe fruit from Israel. That's true. Anyway, all of that stuff that we do, and probably needs a shiur on the origins of Tu Bishvat Seder. I don't know if you've ever been to a Tu Bishvat Seder, but that's quite possibly from Shabtai Tzvi, or the followers of Shabtai Tzvi as the original source for that. Anyway, lovely minhag there. Minhag is very important. But Tzadok says that the real renewal of Tu Bishvat is our connection with God, and the realization that we and Torah and God are all the same thing, that we connect to God through Torah and God connects to us, and we're all the same thing. The machlokas between the Tari Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel is, where do we meet God? According to Bet Hillel, we meet God on the 15th of the month, on the full moon, when we can see the most clearly, when it's the bright, unless you're a werewolf, it's the brightest, and you see God the best, and that's a clear, strong relationship. According to Beit Shammai, it's the opposite, that we discover God when it's the darkest, when the just the beginnings of the renewal, when there's the just coming out from the darkest depression, is the time that we discover God the best and renew our connection to God. Now, all of these things, I think, the Tzaddik is talking about leaving Egypt. He's also, I think, talking about the history of the Jewish people in general. And I think all these ideas are applicable also to waiting for Mashiach and the end of the current exile. That when things seem darkest and most confused and most difficult is when the best chance for Mashiach to come is then, when things don't make any sense, when we know that for sure Mashiach can't possibly come now, when it doesn't make any sense, when we're going to argue that it's the wrong time, it's the wrong mitzvahs, and it's too many, right, all of those things, that's when God says, I don't care about any of that. That's when it's going to happen. It's also true on an individual, personal level, that each of us goes through exile and redemption every day, every month, every year, different stages of our lives. When we feel that we've been abandoned, or we've abandoned God, that everything's lost and we've given up and there's no hope. And then we rediscover God, or God rediscovers us, and we see that there's a chance. And that even though we had a whole reason why we can't do anything and nothing makes any sense and there's no point, then all of a sudden, despite all of that, we can continue and through that make a stronger connection. Now, I just wanted to finish with what Rav Tzaddik begins with. Tzidkat Tzaddik. They say that if you want to understand Rav Tzaddik HaKohen, his writings should start with Tzidkat Tzaddik. Now, why do they say that? I don't know, because it's very difficult, but then so is everything else he writes. If you would start with Tzidkat Tzaddik, and if you would get as far as page 1 of Tzidkat Tzaddik, you would find the following idea. Rav Tzaddik begins. I don't know historically when he wrote this or how he views this book, but this is viewed as one of his most important book. I'm not sure, the fundamental book. And he begins, and it doesn't really. The beginning of Tzidkat Tzaddik is ostensibly a commentary on the beginning of Brachot, of the Gemara of Brachot. So he starts talking about Kriyat Shema in the evening, and the evening, and the morning, and the Shema. But before he gets into that, he starts with this, which I think is just such a powerful idea that if nothing else, it's worth coming to the shiur just for this one idea of Rav Tzaddik, which I think is true, again, as individuals, as a nation, true for Balei Tshuva, true for FFB, it's true for everybody, and something that we very easily forget. Reshit knisat ha'adam la'avodat Hashem. The beginning of a person entering to serve God. Again, this means every time we begin, not just at the very beginning of our life. The beginning of a person's service of God, tzrich liot b'chipazon, has to be with chipazon. What's chipazon? When we left Egypt, haste. Right? I think, well, I put alacrity, expediency. I probably couldn't have thought. When they ate in Egypt, when Moshe said you're going to leave Egypt, they had to eat the korban pesach with their backpack on, their coats, their shoes, ready to go. Everything's going to happen very fast. When it happens, it's like that. So the beginning, when you're connecting to God the first time, right, the renewal, the first, wherever the first is, you have to jump in there. But the chipazon, do it in a hurry. Don't stop and think about it. Don't try and figure it out. Just do it. Right? Like we find with the very first Pesach in Egypt, Shahaya Nechal b'chipazon, which was eaten b'chipazon. Right. But that was only the very first year. Then having done that, lo b'pesach dorot, the following year it wasn't b'chipazon at all. Right. It was Lucette around the Seder, and we talked all night long, and we ate the Pesach until the wee small hours, and all the students came and said, Rabbi, it's time to read the Shema in the morning. And it was the very the opposite of being in a hurry. Mivnei shat chalal in a tek atzma mikol tavat olam hazeh, because when a person begins to disconnect themselves from the desires of this world, shu mikushar behem, because he, which is connected to this world very strongly, tzurich lishmor harega shmitarer baratzon Hashem. Person has to guard that moment of, wow, I need to do this now. There's just that moment of desire to serve God, to get rid of, to jump out of that and jump into something else. That moment, you have to bottle that and hang on to that. The chodor torega, to quickly grab that moment, seize the moment. And the maher letzeit mem olayichal, to use that to then jump out of whatever you're stuck in and jump into the next stage of your life or the next stage of connection to God. However, equally importantly, right, if you sit and just think everything through and work it all out, you'll never get there. You've got to just grab, sometimes you've just got to do it. Not always, that would be really stupid to always do that, but there's moments when you just know what you've got to do and you just have to do it without thinking and do it. Now, aha kapha, equally important, shuv yelech b'metinut v'la'at kedin pesach dorat. Then you've got to go and fill in all the gaps and work out what you're doing very slowly with it. You can't keep running at that pace. You can't keep jumping without thinking it through, because then that won't you'll collapse. You can't. You've got to both jump in at the beginning and then take it slowly after that. And I think that, again, as individuals, as different groups of people, and as a nation, we see the state of Israel. Right? There was just a moment that things happened that just didn't make any sense and couldn't possibly have happened, and it was impossible, and it just happened. And then we've got, and there are many, many moments like that in the history of Israel. And then there's other times which have to go slowly, and it's so slow that we can't even figure out what's going on. We've got to use that time to build on those to hang on to those moments of how amazing everything is, and to realize how miraculous it is that we're here, that Israel is here, that we're getting closer to the Geula, that God is connecting to us, and all the amazing things we see around us. But we have to, when we don't see clearly those moments of miracle, we have to hang on to that and realize that's the time of building up ourselves and building our connection to God. Thanks. Yeah.